Hilke Flaber was just starting her law degree at Cambridge when she received the sudden and terrible news that her mother had died. At age 22, Hilke was left alone in the world and with an unfinished old hotel that her mother had been restoring in Lübeck, Germany. Not only that, but she was faced with inheriting her mother's debts, which ran to millions of euros. She had the chance to walk away, but Hilke chose to fulfill her mother's dream. Classic Altstadt Hotel in the heart of Lübeck became her destiny, and now her legacy to her son. Hilke joins me on this episode of the Creative Conversations podcast to share her moving and inspiring story. Welcome to Creative Conversations, Bold Creativity, Smart Action, the Tiger Spirit podcast exploring what happens when creativity and action flow together. My guest today is Hilke Flaber, owner of the Classic Altstadt Hotel in Lübeck.
Thank you, first of all, very much for asking me and for having me here on your beautiful podcast. The Classic Altstadt is actually really in the heart of the historic town of Lübeck. Lübeck is known as part of the Hanseatic League. As a matter of fact, it's called Queen of the Hanseatic League. And the hotel itself only has 28 bedrooms behind a very unique old merchant house facade. And it's very individually designed, and yet it's sort of, you know, got the history of the past, but it's still very modern with all the utilities, and it gets refurbished every now and then. Every time I go on travels and have a new idea, you know, gets a new vampire. And every single room is named after historic literature authors that have been quite famous in Lübeck. Of course, got a couple of ladies too. So it's basically a nice little bed and breakfast hotel that also has its own private kitchen. It's family run, with my son and myself running it. We've got a great strong team of 10 people who are behind us. It's very, very sunny in there because it's got really big windows, and there's a little walk in the past when you come to see us. And I always say our guests come as guests and leave as friends.
Now, you never wanted to be a hotelier. You took over the hotel when you were 22 with no experience and no plan because of a sudden event. And you were not even in Germany at the time, I believe.
I had my education in England, and I'd just done my A-levels. And my mother had already gone back to Germany after my father died in 73. She went back to Germany in 76. I had this idea of doing something like a bed and breakfast like we know in England. She showed me this house, and I thought to myself, no way, you know, I'm not getting involved here. She was trying to persuade me to go to, you know, the hotel schools in Switzerland. And I said, Mummy, you know, that's your thing, and I just don't want to get on with it. And I was already in the middle of going for my law degrees, because that's what I wanted to do, and started off in Cambridge. And unfortunately, my mother, while she was refurbishing the whole hotel, and it took longer, and it was a lot of involvement and costs, I think she was just so desperate. And then she got cancer, and unfortunately, she never saw the hotel reopen, and she died on the 27th of August in 84. So I was 22, as you said, and I was sort of torn out of my fantastic life in Cambridge and came to this rather, a different place in Germany, Lübeck, near the Baltic Sea. And I thought to myself, okay, now what's going to happen? You know, you're sort of, with 22, you're still an orphan. Then we had masses of debts. And in Germany, I think it's the same everywhere. You have 6 weeks' time to decide whether you want to accept your inheritance or not.
And so at that point, you had a big decision to make. You had your life in England, your studies, your law career, and suddenly you were saddled with quite a big debt potentially. What was going on for you? How did you make such a big decision at such a young age?
You're still in mourning. You haven't really realized, you know, that this is true. It's not just a bad dream. And you just really work. I can't even remember my mother's funeral. I was so struck by everything. But of course, you organize it all. And then in a foreign language, I mean, I am, you know, born in Germany, but I was in England all my life. So it was like, what do you do first? So I went to the bank. I just decided to put on some rather nice clothes, you know, don't show anybody what you really feel. I love Charlie Chaplin's way he always says, you know, smile and the whole world smiles with you, and cry and you cry alone. So I thought, right, off to the bank, make a good impression. And all of a sudden, the door opened. There were five men sitting there in their suits and very much older than I was, and very condescending, very patronizing, sort of really telling me what I can't do. You know, you're too young, you have no experience in the hotel business, your mother's highly indebted, and you don't even speak the language properly. So we've signed up all these papers for you, and just write off your inheritance, and then, you know, you can walk away and live your life. And it was like, no, you don't say to somebody who is brought up in England, very, you know, quite self-conscious in the sense of, yes, I can do this. And then somebody tells you, no, you can't. And then, you know, I don't really think that I'm one of these sort of women's lib ladies, but the thought of these five men dictating my life for me was like, no way. My mother has not died for nothing. You are not getting this hotel for cheap. And so I said, well, I'll take the papers. You know, I made myself very important, you know, had a term of law. So there's me thinking I know it all. And I just said, well, I'll take these papers, thank you very much, and I'll look through these, and then I'll give you my decision. And I'm certainly not signing anything yet. And I walked out of that door and I said, no way, guys. I'm going to show you that we're not that easily sold.
That is quite remarkable. So, and at age 22, was there somebody around? Did you have friends, family members, other people who could help you talk through with you this major decision?
I didn't have any family left. I don't have any brothers and sisters. My parents had died. I had just fallen madly in love with somebody who I wasn't going to talk to about my personal problems. I had my employees, mummy's employees. And of course, they were all sort of 20 to 30 years older than I, sometimes 10 years older. And they just gave me so much moral support and said, and the best friend of my mother's, she also worked in a hotel. And they were all sort of saying, well, your mother would be very proud of you if you did continue. Obviously, they were very worried about their work. And they just said, even if we only have half of our salary, we can make this work. We'll show you what to do. And let's just go for it, because we've had 2 years of, we couldn't open the hotel because we were, you know, building everything. It's all ready to go. We'll support you in every way you want. And then I went back to Cambridge and my professor said, well, yes, do it. You've got to do it. And your place is kept here for you, and we suggest that you sign up in Hamburg and do like a break abroad. And I thought, well, that's brilliant. Let's do that. And the only thing I really was worried about, mummy coming back and spooking me and saying, you know, don't you dare give up. She'd always wanted me to do a hotel business, which I really still didn't want to do at that point. I was thinking, you know, are there other means? Are there other ways? But I didn't want to feel guilty writing off mum's life. Work, you know, and I thought, no, this is her hotel. And it remained in my heart and in my thoughts for at least 10 years onwards. It was always, when I spoke about it, where it's mum's hotel. We're running mum's hotel. I don't like going to graveyards or anything. So I just, it's sort of like a memorial for my mother. It sounds a bit, you know, weird, but it just gave me the strength also, that I was able to do it for her. And it gave me a purpose. Okay, well, I was on a very posh school and I've had it all very nicely done in my life, but now it's my turn to show that, you know, you've actually invested something in me, you invested in my education, and now I'm just going to use it one way I can.
So a legacy, not just in terms of the physical hotel and not just in terms of the money, but an idea, a dream, and that sense of you are part of her life, she's part of your life, and going forward, your son. And we'll come to that a bit later on. So when you then decided to take over the hotel, I believe your mum, when she bought the building, she didn't realize it was an ancient bathhouse or that there were all these beautiful historical aspects to it.
Basically, my mother, it was the cold winter in 1979, and lots of plaster came off the wall. And we had an architect that stayed in the hotel, and he said, do you realize there is a lot of old foundation behind these walls? I mean, we actually found letters that were written in the First World War and lots of little things. And he said, I'm going to check into this. And they suddenly realized that there had been an old bathhouse standing there in 1299, and we still had a lot of the stones and the beams that they could just see behind the plaster. And then he looked into all the files and suddenly saw that there were beautiful windows that were behind these plastered front. So, and he said, oh, it won't cost that much and we'll get some support from the government. And I know an architect and we could really do it. And so my mother got the financial support she needed. She unfortunately went to a bank that gave her 100% credit, which is always very dangerous. And my mother was one of these types as well. I tried to see her as one of my idols, that she just said, just do it. You know, don't do a business plan, just do it. And just one thing led to another, really. You suddenly realized we were on a, Lübeck is on an old, it's got all these little pebbles underneath. So, you know, the building would fall apart if you put a lot of new cement on top. So you had to put great files, you know, great big, beams into the building. And every time they ripped off some more, they found that it's these old red brick that they used to have in monasteries. And they found the old stones, the Gotland stones that had been brought over by the old ships to weigh them out. So, you know, when they brought the furs back from Sweden and Norway, Hanseatic League would give them the beer barrels and the wine from France, and we would get lighter goods back. So they had these big, strong Gotland stones, and they were all underneath this building. They were worth a fortune. So yes, we suddenly discovered that this is actually a historical building site, which was in itself very difficult for my mother, because they kept stopping the construction work, because then they'd have to have the people that were looking at it into ancient history, and they had to start doing surveys. So you can imagine the money was running out very, very quickly.
Yes, that happens in the ancient city parts of London as well. The archaeological remains and have to be assessed and all that, and it takes for a long time. But what a wonderful story in terms of the history of the hotel. It has almost the history of Lübeck built into its foundations and its walls. So having rebuilt the interior of the building and made it into a wonderful, comfortable hotel, that you were then faced also with the challenge of actually running a hotel.
It's going to be 40 years next year. So when I took it on in 84, things started like I'd be doing the plumbing, and we do our linen ourselves still to this very day. So you have this huge, like an ironing board where you put the sheets in and it sort of swoon, you know, you get really good arts doing this. And at the same time, all these people were coming and wanting their money, of course. You know, it was just a huge project, and it hadn't been settled yet. I can just remember one situation, truly, it must have been a sight. I had sort of like similar marigold gloves on and shorts on, because it was a really hot day, which you don't run around nowadays in hotels that have standards, and, you know, and a t-shirt, and I had a lube brush in my hand, and I was literally just trying to get the plumbing going. And they were saying, yes, here's such and such. We need to speak to the manager. You know, go and get your father. And I'm sort of like, I am the manager. And I must have looked really weird sight. It probably all I needed really was my green Wellington boots. I would have been a perfect comedy situation there. And I really had to say, well, I am actually the boss. And they were sort of, oh, don't be silly. You know, I mean, we're talking about 1984, 86, you know, and we were not taken seriously as a woman to run a business. Like, you know, who are you trying to kid? But at the end of the day, I gave them a bit of mouth, and then they did realize that I had something to say for myself. And of course, now I'm sort of in the other situation, trying to speak my old British again. In those days, I was trying to speak some German, and it was really difficult. You know, communication is everything. But I do look the people straight in the eye, and I hope you know who you're dealing with. And I was very, very lucky to have had this wonderful British education of 10 years of where you sort of get your confidence. And when you think to yourself, you know, you don't need to look down on people, but I'm certainly not having anybody look down on me. And I think, you know, I was fearless. I was just looked the people straight in the eye and said, do you want something from me or do you not? Because I'd like to get on with it.
Oh, that is absolutely a wonderful story. And looking at you now and on your pictures on Facebook and Instagram, you are the statuesque, very glamorous, beautiful woman, beautifully dressed and always just fabulous. And it sounds to me like you have made the hotel seems to be part of your personality. And you were saying just now at the beginning of the podcast that grows and evolves depending on when you come back with lots of creative ideas from a trip or something like that. Can you tell us how you get these ideas and how that has transformed the hotel bit by bit over time.
Yes, 10 years later, this was 1997, I suddenly decided, if I'm going to continue doing this, it's got to be my hotel. The lady that was running it up until that point left me because she was had to go into old age. And I suddenly said, right, can I sell it or am I going to do it? And if I'm going to do it, I want to do it my way. Seriously, it was my way. And I had tried to work. I still did my studies. I finished my law degree. I did some travel journalism, which was really weird considering I can't really speak German that well and not write it. But they were very interested, of course, in my British heritage in the sense of wanting some articles on Cornwall and all the beautiful sites. So I took all these ideas because Lübeck is very sort of, I don't know if you can say that, Anglophile, we say in Germany. You know, they love British way of life, everything about it, the flowers, the design. And so I'd be in Rye and all these pretty little hotels. And I think to myself, you know, I could do that. I can have beautiful flowers in the bathroom. And then, you know, I'd go into this literature hotel and I suddenly said, you know, this is what I want to do. I love reading books. And to know a place, to get to know a place, you have to try and get into the, you know, like Jane Austen bath. She gets so much of the local color into it. And we have Thomas Mann and we have all these fantastic literature Nobel Prize winning people. So I suddenly decided to adapt what I love as somebody who's traveled and also what my magazine loved. It was also a sort of typical woman's magazine, like Good Housekeeping or Woman at Home or Homes and Gardens equivalent in Germany. And I suddenly realized I want to be a hotel like that. I want to come home to my own hotel and think this is where I would like to be a guest. And so I started, refurbishing, getting the colors right, and actually enjoying doing the marketing and the decorating and letting the people who had actually learned hotel business get on with it. But I was just saying, right, I want to get the look and feel of this hotel right.
To have the practical people, the hotel experts getting on with the hotel bit, and you bring your mark, your style to it. And almost it's like from doing something that you felt, right, I'm going to do this for my mum, you then evolved into, I'm going to do this for myself. And both of them have a different kind of energy that propelled you forward in the first place. And then the second aspect, the second phase where you were doing it for yourself, you put your mark in it. And there is, you know, when you were talking about it, we're doing this on Zoom and your face came alive and there's a sort of joy in it. It's a wonderful thing to see and to hear.
It's all about, you know, the look and the feel, and you come into a place and it's got this magical smell to it too. And if it's just the feeling of, I don't know if you remember, but at school, you know, it's Sunday because you could smell the croissants and you could smell the coffee and you could smell, you know, almost the honey. And this is what I love. We're a bed and breakfast. So I said the first thing I wanted was that we had regional breakfast and, you know, the honey and you know, of course, Lübeck is known as it for its marzipan. So, and we're known for so many more things, you know. And so I thought, well, local food has got to be good. I mean, this was before everybody was going on about environmental food and long sustainable stuff. It was literally, it was my ambition to come in and feel at home, but on a professional basis, you know, so that people had all the necessities that they expected from a like a 4-star hotel. We're only 3-star. I keep it that way. Well, everybody keeps wanting to put me into a 4-star because I think I don't want to get the expectations too high. I prefer people coming in, not expecting much and saying, oh my goodness, behind this old historic facet, what a marvelous place this is. And it's just as if they compliment me. And if somebody's not happy, which thank God it's very rare, I feel as if it's a personal matter for me because I'm sort of like, you know, this is my heart that's in here. I feel happy here. Why can't I make you feel happy here? You know, what do I need? You know, do you want to have some wine or some? Let's have a drink or something. You'll see things from a different perspective. And I'm sure that, you know, let's drink the place beautiful. No, but seriously, and I adore the fact, I mean, my son who is now running it, we'll get into that later. You know, that's a male approach to things. He's professional. He's an expert. He's got all the finances. And then he says, oh, mother, you spend so much money on fresh flowers. And I say, this is dynamic, but that is the special. The little things are these things that matter. And then, you know, you get the right people. It's almost like, when you're looking for a new partner or something, you know, you send out a message and people that love your style, they find you. And then when they check out, they say, gosh, all these little things are so wonderful. And my son always looks at them and says, I'm sure my mother paid you to say that. I just love people valuing, liking what we do. And that makes me very happy.
Now, you have really made Germany and Lübeck your home, having not really known Germany from your youth. And you have created a connection between the hotel and Lübeck, and you just mentioning the food and the honey and all that, and also the literary figures in the area. As a writer myself, I'm completely intrigued. Oh my goodness, she mentioned the rooms are named after literary figures. So could you talk about the literary connections and also your connections, how you make the hotel part of Lübeck?
Okay, well, first of all, we have a late classicistical facade. So, you know, we're here in the classic period, and this is the period that Thomas Mann wrote into. And we have three Nobel Prize winning personalities, two of which literature. One is Thomas Mann. I never had heard of the Buddenbrooks, but it's wonderful because it's all about a family. And they depict, the way that Lübeck lived in that time. He never says Lübeck, but you suddenly realize what the people are like there. So you get the flavor of Lübeck. And there are other figures of literature like Dorothy Schlosser. She's a bit like Jane Austen, and describes how women lived in the 19th century. And all this is sort of local flair that is still from the past. And when you come to Lübeck, you see it's like a little fairy tale city. It's got sort of seven spires, five churches on this little small island. It's surrounded by water. And when you come to us, we are in the merchant sailor part of Lübeck. There are four parts. There's the clerical part, there's the merchant part, and we're more or less there where all the sort of hustle and bustle of when they used to come in with their old timer sailing ships. And so all our literature characters, they have written about their times from more or less the 15th century up until today, which was then Günter Grass, who died 2015, and came from Poland, called Danzig. And those two cities, Lübeck and Danzig, very much alike. So you can literally walk out of our door and you turn left and you're straight in one of these secret alleyways. Lübeck is full of little courtyards and alleyways and flowers. You know, it starts now in springtime. It goes through to up to Christmas. And it's just such a quaint little town, and you can walk it. You don't need a car. You just put your car in the parking space, which is far away enough so you can't hear cars, but close enough to be convenient. And so these literature figures that I've named our rooms after, it was very important for me. That's one thing that really our hotel is a signature hotel, because you come in and you wake up with Lübeck. You know, I always say in bed with culture, because you can read on the walls what it's all about and who these people were and why they sort of are so important for Lübeck. And it makes our guests want to go out and see all these wonderful museums. We've got like 15 museums that are within walking distance from us. We've got these five beautiful churches that are, you know, the mother of the Gothic period, red brick churches. So I don't know if you've ever been to Lübeck, but it's a fascinating view when you just drive into it, because you just see the skyline of these seven huge cathedral-like towers. I'm thinking of all these wonderful books that we used to be written, Ken Follett, and all this energy as well that went into building these cathedrals in the 14th century. So we have a house motto that says, we're dedicated to the past, but we live in the present. And that's what Lübeck's about. You know, you come into this town, which is full of wonderful shops and beautiful. It's not a museum, you know, it's a lively, and people live in the old town. It's a bit like Cambridge, Oxford. People are living there. They're cycling their bikes. They're sitting outside and enjoying the sunshine and the rivers sort of flowing along. It's very idyllic. And yet in the minute you sort of step into the courtyards, you're going back into history and you calm down and you hear the birds. You don't even notice that you're in a hustly and bustly old town. I love it. It's just so vibrant. And I never wanted to run a hotel, but I love people. I love people and I love my guests. Really, my son was quite cross with me, because at the time when we had COVID, I was the lady that was, you know, running. I really felt like my mother. I was suddenly the lady that was talking too much and giving, you know, handing out the breakfast and saying, have you ever been there? And have you seen this? And this picture depicts that and that. And you know, and you must go and see the Thomas Mann House. You've got to go and see the Günter Grass House. And there's a wonderful exhibition going on. And these people, they gave me the credit of listening to me. And I felt, oh, you know, I have my platform, I have my audience. And my son would say, Mummy, I need to have the next guest come here. We have, you know, we have time slips because of COVID. You know, they're not leaving. They wanted another espresso. And I, you know, I can't throw the guests out, but the next ones are standing there. For goodness sake, get on with it, Mother, you know. And it's like, yes, this is my home. I'm just thinking about, oh gosh, you know, I was thinking just now to the manner born. And I just thought, God, you're becoming very much like her, you know.
Yes, that was a TV comedy sitcom back in the 70s or 80s for our younger listeners. And there was this grand dame who was very, very bossy, but very, very grand. That's very amusing. So am I right in thinking that you also had, you also run literary events at the hotel?
Yes, we are very much into that now. We had already done sort of little salons, as we call them. You know, we have little groups and you have a local author. And then it's more or less meet and greet as well. You know, people read a book, but they've never known. I always say behind every book, there's an author. And this author is writing down also his life history. If you really listen closely, it's more or less that they are, you know, talking a lot about themselves, even if they put their stories in the past. And so we have these literature events, and they are events. You know, we have music at Christmas time. We always have from Thomas Mann. He has a fantastic, he really describes the Christmas that you imagine in Germany with the beautiful evergreen trees and the songs and the silent nights. And so we have, we work very closely with all our cultural organizations. So we have a wonderful music school, by the way, and hardly everybody from everywhere, from China, from Korea, from Australia, they come and want to learn music in Lübeck. So we have a lot of students that will come and escort a reading. And it's just a wonderful atmosphere in this small little house with everything decorated accordingly to the season.
So now we've mentioned your son, your poor old son, whom you've been taking the mickey out of. So you're preparing him to take over the business. So can you tell us about that and that relationship? And it's like the mother-son relationship. I think all mothers and all children will recognize that, even though they may not be in the hotel business. Could you tell us about that? And also, what are your hopes for the future of the hotel?
Well, I'm very, very happy because there were stages in my life where I thought to myself, you know, is this really going to work on like this? So I thought to myself, well, maybe we could sell it. And then my son, at a very early age, when he was 13, said, please don't sell it. I really want to do it. So I thought to myself, this is really weird. It's also almost as if it's the son that my mother was always wanted to have, because he was so excited about running a hotel. So I could always say to him, you've got to do your O-levels, because if you haven't got the O-levels, you can't run a hotel. And maybe there are other aspects in life beside a hotel, but no, he wanted to do it. So he learned everything, and he learned it right from the bottom. I mean, he didn't go to some posh hotel school in Switzerland, which I'm sure is very, very good, but he literally learned from the bottom. So he can actually run it. He's 32 now, and he knows exactly how long it takes to clean a room. He knows how much he has to buy for breakfast, and doesn't overdo it like I do. And he has his own stand, which is good, because you could imagine that to run something 40 years and personalize it, or my, you know, it's always Hilke Bleber of the classic Outre-Hotel. She's doing this, she's doing that. So he's not even trying to go into my footsteps. He is trying to make his own mark. And he is, I suppose he's my son, because he is clever enough to think, okay, well, I'm going to position mother there where she's needed, which is sort of marketing and that. And she can give everybody all the sort of talk they want to listen to. And I can put her back into her place, because I'm the one that actually, you know, knows how to finance this, and that I have the operations behind me. He's the one that knows how to educate the future. And if you ask me what I really wish for is A, that he is happy doing this, because it's a very tough job and it's getting worse by the minute. All these situations since Corona, all the new registrations and conditions of running a hotel. And quite honestly, I don't know how anybody earns money out of running a hotel if they want to do it as we have done it the last 40 years per heart, because it's just, you know, all the energy bills are going up, as you know, the whole world situation. So, you know, we could talk this into, oh gosh, how is he going to get his future employees, and you don't want to put the prices up so extremely that people won't be coming. And you don't want to go onto a 4-star because then you'd be able to charge more because then the expectations would go higher again. But you still want to have enough to reinvest. And I said to my son, darling, you know, if you want to do something else, I'm not forcing you to run this hotel. And he said, no, actually, I forced you to keep it running for me. And now I want to continue it. And he said, that's why we're not giving anything away anymore. So if you want to do your literature soirees, you're going to have to ground your own little company and do it. I don't mind that we do joint venture, but, you know, I have a business to run at, and my hotel is not really a concert hall. At first, it is a hotel and we want to make our guests happy. So, you know, just get a new company running. And that's what I did since September last year. So my wish for the future is that he keeps up his energy, his inspiration, his wish to be the best hotel manager there is, and he wants to run his own business. And he is actually really, really good because he's actually seen the benefit of getting to do it while mum's still around, so he can still have somebody to boss around, you know, help him.
So listening to your story over the last half an hour or so, it strikes me that the theme really is of your life and your and what you have made the Classic Altstadt Hotel is about overcoming challenges that might initially at first seem to be overwhelming for you when you were 22. And now, you know, your son is overcoming different challenges. And so do you have any last words for our listeners about how what you've learned about how to face challenges that may seem overwhelming?
It is a mindset thing. You know, if you sit down with I write my diary every single day. And after a day that's been very challenging and not very nice, I try and start off with thank you. And there are hundreds of things that you can be grateful for. And just try with those, you know, and if you start off with those, then, you know, you come into a positive mind. I try and turn off anything when it starts of bad news. I try and get into good news spirit. We have a lovely character, a nice literature character in Germany. She's called Pippi Langstrump. She's so famous. She comes, I think that she's from Sweden. Hope I didn't say anything wrong now. She always says, she draws the world as she wants to see it. And that's what I think you should do. You should use all your three, you know, your mind, your heart, but you should always do what you want to do. And you should be fearless. You know, you should just say, this is the situation. I have one life, and it doesn't matter what I do as long as I do it. And don't think so much. Just if you feel this is what you makes you happy, and focus on what your heart tells you you want to do, and don't let anybody else determine your life.
My creative conversation today was with Hilke Flaber. There are photos and links to some of the things we talked about on the show notes page. Go to tigerspirits.co.uk/blog and click through to Creative Conversations. You can also find other episodes and seasons 1 to 4 of the show on your pod listening app. Go to podfollow.com/creativeconversations. If you've enjoyed this episode of the Creative Conversations podcast and would like to help more people find the show, please tell your friends about it, subscribe or follow the show, or leave a lovely rating or review via your pod listening app. All this will help nudge the show up the podcast charts. Creative Conversations, Bold Creativity, Smart Action is part of tigerspirit.co.uk. You can find the podcast by going to podfollow.com/creativeconversations or go to tigerspirit.co.uk/blog and click through to Creative Conversations. I'm Yang-Mei Ui. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook as @TigerSpiritUK. Or you can simply Google the podcast, Creative Conversations, and my name, Yang-Mei Ui. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.